Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is Tuesday night. It is 10 o'clock, and Matt Chat is back on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Ace Diamond. Had to take last week off due to some personal issues, but I am back tonight, and tonight we're going to do things a little bit differently. Phone lines are open. You know the number. And tonight we're going to be discussing Hell in a Cell. So we're going to get right into that. Hell in a Cell kicked off last night, kickoff show with Chad Gable and Shelton Benjamin taking on Zack Ryder and Mojo Rawley, the Hype Bros, who have been a little less brotherly, a little less than brotherly lately. They've been there's been a bit of a lack of communication between them. Every now and then, it seems like there's a lack of communication between them. And, of course, Chad Gable and Shelton Benjamin defeated the Hype Bros, which led to another dispute between the Hype Bros. But did not lead to their demise, which some people have been speculating is right around the corner. But I won't speculate on that myself. Then we got into the Hell in a Cell pay-per-view itself. Match one was the tag team Hell in a Cell match for the SmackDown Live tag team titles between the Usos and the New Day. Now, my favorite spot in this entire match was when I believe it was Jey Uso was trapped in the corner of the cell by three kendo sticks by the New Day. That was genius. How he was able to get out, I'm not sure. I didn't see that. But having the wherewithal to trap him in the corner and focusing their attention on his brother was a genius move, in my opinion. However, of course, in what I have to call a 4.5-star match, the Usos regained the SmackDown Live Tag Team titles. And as we saw on SmackDown tonight, if you got to see it, if you haven't, spoiler alert, their next opponents will be the aforementioned Chad Gable and Shelton Benjamin, who have earned a future SmackDown Live Tag Team Championship match. Now, the second match of the evening saw Randy Orton and Rusev face off in what I have to call a somewhat underwhelming match. Honestly, my only note that I took that entire match was Orton wins with an RKO out of nowhere. There was nothing real special about the match. But Orton won. And of course, that feud continues. Then we had the United States Championship match, which during the kickoff show was made a triple threat by Daniel Bryan, adding Ty Dillinger to the show, or to the match. Which, you know, Ty Dillinger defeated Baron Corbin, and Baron Corbin was in the match, so really, Ty Dillinger kind of deserved to be in the match. It was a good match. It was a good triple threat match. Very physical. There were moments in the match where you could have thought any of the three were going to win it. And ultimately, Baron Corbin was able to pin Ty Dillinger to win the triple threat and become the new United States champion. And tonight on SmackDown, AJ Styles invoked his rematch clause, which I think could have been a little too soon. And in a singles match, Baron Corbin once again defeated AJ Styles to retain the United States Championship, which, again, if I was AJ, I probably would have waited a week to try to regain my title. The next match after that, SmackDown Women's Championship, Natalya Neidhart defended against Charlotte Flair. A second-generation wrestler and a third-generation wrestler. You've got Charlotte Flair, of course, the daughter of the Nature Boy Ric Flair, and Natalya Neidhart, daughter of Jim the Anvil Neidhart, niece of Bret Hart, and granddaughter of Stu Hart. Very, very good match by two very, very good women's wrestlers. Probably two of the top women's wrestlers on the planet, if we're going to be completely honest. Of course, like I said, they've got the pedigree to be two of the top. Unfortunately, the way the match ended was not indicative of two of the top women's wrestlers in the world. The match ended when Natalya used a chair to Charlotte's gut, causing the disqualification, and of course, titles don't change hands on disqualification, so Charlotte wins the match by disqualification, but still, your SmackDown Live Women's Champion, Natalya. Now to probably my least favorite match of the night. Which, it wasn't bad, honestly. It was not a bad match. I'd give it 3 stars. And yes, I know I've only given stars to the opening match and this match, but what are you going to do? Jinder Mahal versus Shinsuke Nakamura. The Singh brothers got tossed right before the finish of the match, which saw Jinder Mahal, his finisher on Shinsuke Nakamura, while Nakamura was distracted by the Singh brothers, and Jinder Mahal is still your SmackDown or your WWE champion, and he has now surpassed many legends on the number of days he has held that title, which I think is an absolute joke. Then, in the semi-main event, which really, honestly, I think the championship match should have been the semi-main event, but the semi-main event, Bobby Roode versus Dolph Ziggler. Dolph Ziggler has been going around claiming that he is the best in-ring performer in WWE history. Now, that I take an issue with, because he is not Ric Flair or Shawn Michaels. Those two are the top two in-ring performers in WWE history. Dolph Ziggler is an outstanding in-ring performer, however. Greatest in-ring performer of this current generation? I'll give him that all day. All time? Sorry, I've already said who I think the two greatest are, and he's not quite at that level. Although he'd like to think he's at Shawn Michaels' level, but he's not. I digress. Bobby Roode wins in what was, to me, a very, I won't say mediocre, I'll use the term that I used earlier. It was a very underwhelming match. Two performers in the ring, it could have been 10 times better. Bobby Roode won with a handful of tights as the good guy. And after the match, Dolph Ziggler hit a zigzag, and tonight on SmackDown, called out Ziggler. There's a rematch next week on SmackDown, which I hope is 1,000 times better than the first match. Now to the main event, which was only main event because of two reasons. Number one, it was a Hell in a Cell match, which you had to have a Hell in a Cell match as the main event. And number two, because it involved a McMahon. Shane McMahon versus Kevin Owens. You know, first of all, it started out, the match barely even got in the ring. I mean, I don't think they were in the ring for more than a minute at a time during the entire match. They were throwing each other out of the ring. I mean, the match started outside the cell, so, and it was a Falls Count Anywhere match, so. It was a very good match, very brutal, probably the most brutal Hell in a Cell match I've seen since Mankind versus The Undertaker in the second ever Hell in a Cell match in 97 was Undertaker versus Shawn Michaels in the very first Hell in a Cell match. The ending was Kevin Owens was knocked off the cell about halfway up the cell. And then Shane McMahon decided he was going to climb to the very top of the cell and jump off and end Kevin Owens, possibly permanently. I mean, he had Kevin Owens beat. And actually, as Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens said tonight, which I'll get to in a minute, I'll get to that situation in a minute, Shane McMahon had Kevin Owens beat, but he wanted to end Kevin Owens. You know, I can't really say I blame him. You don't talk about a man's family, especially a man's children. I don't have children. I do have nieces and nephews. If somebody says anything bad about them, I'm going to jail. Guarantee it. But I digress. Lost my train of thought. Anyway, Shane McMahon climbs to the top of the cage, top of the cell, and jumps. And when he lands, Kevin Owens isn't there because he was saved by Sami Zayn. Sami Zayn explained why he did what he did, and he's right. He has been overlooked for months. He has been brushed off by Shane McMahon for months. Sami Zayn has not been appreciated for months. I don't think Sami Zayn's been appreciated since he came to WWE, honestly. So that's why Sami Zayn helped Kevin Owens. Even though he said at the beginning he wanted Shane McMahon to win the match. But he didn't want Shane McMahon to end Kevin Owens' career. Because they are brothers. Not best friends, brothers. I've got people in my life that I've had falling outs with, but I just still consider brothers. If somebody tried to end their career or their life, probably step in and prevent that. So that's a rundown of what happened at Hell in a Cell last night and the fallout from SmackDown Live tonight. Oh, and one thing I forgot to mention, there was a tag team match that didn't directly come out of Hell in a Cell, but it featured four people who were involved in the Hell in a Cell card. Randy Orton and Shinsuke Nakamura teamed up to take on Aiden English and Rusev tonight. Best spot of the night, not just this match, the night, Shinsuke Nakamura hits a roundhouse kick on Rusev. Rusev turns into an RKO from Orton. Nakamura hits Kinshasa on Aiden English. 1, 2, 3, Orton and Nakamura are victorious over English and Rusev. But anyway, that is my Hell in a Cell and SmackDown Live recap. If you're out there listening and you want to call in, The phone number is 323-870-3411. So I will give people a few seconds to call in. Again, it's 323-870-3411. But I'm not going to sit here all night and wait for people to call in. So next week, we'll figure out what we're going to do next week. In the next couple of days, and I'll be making an announcement about that. And then in 2 weeks, I will be joined by... Wait, is that right? I believe it is in 2 weeks. 2 weeks, I will be joined by the awesome Miss Callie, NWF ring announcer extraordinaire, who will be conducting an interview with NWF superstar Ricky Cardinal. That is in 2 weeks. And next week, I will fill everybody in a couple of days on what is going on next week. But that's all the time we're going to have for tonight, since nobody wants to call in. This has been Ace Diamond. And this has been Matt Chat. Have a fabulous week, everybody, and we'll see you at the shows. Support indie wrestling. Good night.